This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
From pop culture to politics, this is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. A great day when President Trump is back in the headlines and back as a center of attention. Why? Well, because there are a number of sources, including the New York Times, including CNN and others, that say there are plans in the Trump camp to get reinstalled as president before August of this year. That means in the next 2 months. How? There's a piece in Forbes magazine that details how. The more likely idea for Trump's return is the idea that Jonathan Allen writes about. Jonathan Allen for NBC News, about Trump's reentry into the race for 2024. Jonathan Allen has been a guest on this show several times before. He is the author of the truly eye-opening and compulsively readable new book, Lucky, How Joe Biden Barely Won the Presidency. Jonathan's most recent piece is called Trump's Back. Here's what his reentry means for 2024. Okay, first of all, let's be very clear here. When you say Trump's back, you don't expect that he will be reinstated as president sometime this year, do you, Jonathan?
I do not.
Okay.
But what I mean by him being back is that he is going to return to the campaign trail on Saturday. He's talking to the Republican State Committee of North Carolina, and then his team is planning rallies for him in other places where there are competitive races, either in a primary or later on next year in a general election for the midterms.
I saw your piece on that and about his busy campaign schedule. Isn't it true that most of the people that he has endorsed so far, or at least half of them, are people who are challenging Republican incumbents, like Jody Heiss, who is challenging the incumbent governor in Georgia, Brian Kemp, that a lot of the people on behalf of whom he is planning a campaign are people who are going after what Trump perceives to be his enemies in the Republican Party?
I've been told that's not his exclusive focus, but certainly the names that have popped up as people he's likely to campaign for, shortly, are people who have embraced his view of the last election and the false idea that he was robbed or that it was somehow rigged, and certainly going after, in some cases, his political enemies. You know, an example of that is, I was told he may go to an event for Max Miller, a congressional candidate in Ohio who is running in the Republican primary against Anthony Gonzalez, one of the, I think it was 10 Republicans who voted to impeach Trump. And then you've got, as you mentioned, Jody Heiss in Georgia, who is running for Secretary of State against Brad Raffensperger. I think listeners will remember Raffensperger was the one who basically refused Trump's entreaties to change the vote in Georgia. We're going to see the president, I think, get behind Mo Brooks, a Senate candidate in Alabama, who has been very close to him. So very much so, at least in the early talks, you're basically looking at Trump getting behind pro-Trump candidates in Republican primaries where they're, in the Senate case in Alabama, there's a retiring Senator, Richard Shelby, so it's not a matchup against an incumbent, but you're definitely seeing him take sides in competitive races on behalf of pro-Trump candidates. In some cases, they are going up against Republican incumbents. And in another place, we expect to see Trump make an endorsement maybe after the next round of fundraising receipts is reported is in Wyoming, where there's a Republican scramble on to take on Liz Cheney in a primary.
Yeah, and there was a little bit of controversy about, is that a Bouchard candidate who admitted to, I'm sorry to say it, impregnating a 14-year-old, is he still running?
It's funny, that's the last I followed of it was that was that news. And I don't know if he has moved out of the race. I can't imagine that he will be competitive, but I guess stranger things have happened in American politics.
Yeah, apparently he's raised a lot of money. I believe he's still in the race along with about six or seven others, all of whom want to knock Liz Cheney out of the House of Representatives, not just out of the leadership, but to take her seat. In terms of Trump's viability as a candidate in 2024, I know that he's hoping, as you point out in your piece, to claim credit if the Republicans succeed, as many of us believe that they will, in retaking the House of Representatives. What happens to his viability if the Republicans fail to take either the House or the Senate and they remain in their minority status?
I mean, I think in part it depends on what happens in those races. Are the candidates he's supporting able to win the Republican primaries that they're running in? And then if they are on the ballot and lose, what does that say? Do we see that, suburban educated white women who previously voted Republican remain Democrats? Is the turnout on the Democratic side high because of resistance to Trump? I mean, all of those questions, I think, are sort of what people will pick through in the aftermath. I think if the president, former President Trump, wants to run for president, he will find a way to spin the results in his favor one way or the other. He's nothing if not a salesman.
Yeah, and in terms of one of the things that has been reported, and I don't know if you've confirmed this, is apparently there were reports in a national journal that he was working with Newt Gingrich and with Jason Miller and some others to create his own version of Contract with America, that he was going to bring forward in terms of issues, positions that he was going to talk about, both for the Republicans in Congress and then for the next Trump term as president. What issues do you think he would be smartest to emphasize there? I think you agree that probably American people don't want to hear much more about the election being stolen. That's not going to be one of his big issues, is it?
It certainly rallies his base, but, we've seen since the election is that his approval ratings over the broad electorate have actually fallen, and so I don't think that's a good message for him. Not only because it's not true, but also because the American public has heard enough of that. That doesn't mean that there aren't people who are intensely loyal to him who will believe it and who do believe it and promote it. But yeah, I agree with you. That's not a good issue for him to run on. I think. You're already starting to see him and people in his orbit, and I talked to some of them for this story that I just wrote, talking about inflation. They're talking about the rise in violent crime in some places. They're talking about what Trump did right, in their view, in terms of launching Operation Warp Speed to get vaccines created and out to the public. And certainly today, even former President Trump put out a statement about the origins of the virus and how he was mocked for suggesting that it could have come from a lab in Wuhan, whereas that now seems to be an open question.
In terms of if you were to speculate as to quickly his likelihood of actually winning the Republican nomination and then winning the presidency in 2024?
Well, I mean, if he runs for president for the Republican nomination, it's hard to see him losing that. I mean, he maintains a supportive majority of Republicans and not a small majority. And we saw in a competitive environment in 2016 that he was able to win the Republican nomination with a plurality and then consolidate the party. So I think winning the nomination is something that he could certainly do. I think winning a general election is a lot tougher, and I'm not the only one that thinks that way. I talked to one of his former campaign operatives who said that he could win the primary and lose the general election very easily.
It is all fascinating, and it's all, to some great extent, unprecedented. We will be right back on the MedVed Show. became aware of Josh Tolley as a very well-known commentator and writer who talked all about how to apply timeless values to the job of investing and business. And now he has an opportunity you need to know about.
Michael, first let me say it is a pleasure to be involved with your show and earn your endorsement. But you're right. People are worried. Politics, societal decay, market volatility, even how to transfer wealth to that next generation. Shift Capital can protect up to 25% of a family or business's wealth, offering tax-free, yes, really, tax-free compounding, no market tie-ins, 5 to 6% compounding dividend return, protected from creditors and with a 140-year track record. Before you invest, protect the money first. ShiftCapital.com, shyft-capital.com, or 1-800-289-7061.
Or you can find out further information at michaelmedved.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, inventor of MyPillow. For a limited time, you can get a queen-size premium MyPillow for the lowest price ever. Regularly $69.98, now only $29.98. You can adjust MyPillow's patented fill so you have the exact support you need regardless of your sleep position. It comes with a 10-year warranty. It's washable and dryable so it stays healthy, and it's 100% made in the USA. I'm also going to give you deep discounts on all my MyPillow products, including my Giza Dream bed sheets, my mattress toppers, bath towels, and so much more. That's $29.98 for a queen-size premium MyPillow, the lowest price ever, and deep discounts on all my MyPillow products.
Call 800-320-6280 or MyPillow.com, promo code MedVet. That's 800-320-6280. Use the promo code MedVet for these great radio specials.
Join me, George Norrie, for Contact in the Desert Worldwide Virtual UFO Conference, June 25th to the 28th. Contact in the Desert will be an epic weekend of exploration into UFOs, ancient alien civilizations, consciousness, AI, crop circles, and cutting-edge science. More than 130 presentations, 67 speakers, and 2 extra weeks to view our extraordinary lineup. Get your tickets today at contactinthedesert.com. It's time to make contact. Contactinthedesert.com.
If you feel America is facing more dangers than ever, you're right. Things are falling apart, it seems, every day. That's why you need to prepare for more of the unexpected, especially food shortages. When people panic, grocery stores run out of food fast. Would you survive without food for days, weeks, even months? The smart folks are buying emergency food now. Take a moment to shop MyPatriotSupply.com. We're America's leader in preparedness. With over a dozen years' experience, My Patriot Supply has earned over 40,000 four-star and five-star reviews. Our delicious, calorie-rich food averages 2,000 calories per day and lasts in storage up to 25 years, so it's there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com, order a kit or two, and we'll ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Don't wait for something bad to happen again. Rather, be more self-reliant and prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamel Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Michael Medved Show, talking about President Trump's comeback and his schedule and his campaigning schedule, which is filling up. He was not at an event recently that was billed as a QAnon event, and it was called a For God and Country Patriots Roundup. It took place at the Omni Hotel in Dallas, and at that event, they had speakers like Michael Flynn, former National Security Advisor for 23 days under President Trump. They had Louis Gohmert, congressman from the state of Texas who spoke there, and a number of QAnon-affiliated individuals. That was a QAnon event. And one of them was Sidney Powell, who was never formally a lawyer for President Trump, but she appeared with Rudy Giuliani, you may remember, and has spoken about various theories concerning the election and the stolen election. At this event, at the God and Country Patriots Roundup, she made a fairly stunning declaration. This would be topic 8. Listen.
There are cases where elections have been overturned, but there's never been one at the presidential level, which everybody will jump to point out. That doesn't mean that it can't be done. It should be that he can simply be reinstated, that a new inauguration date is set. And Biden is told to move out of the White House. And and President Trump should be moved back in.
She then added, I'm sure there's not going to be credit for time lost, unfortunately, because the Constitution itself sets the date for inauguration, but he should definitely get the remainder of his term and make the best of it. Okay, she mentions the Constitution. The Constitution gives no way to reinstate a president who's lost. I mean, the only... Oh, well, there's no way to do that. I mean, under the Constitution, even if they impeached Joe Biden or forced him to resign, he would then be succeeded, if he did that, by Kamala Harris. And then if she resigned, too, he'd be succeeded by Nancy Pelosi. And then after that, by Pat Leahy, who's the Senate pro tem of the Senate. So the dreams of Trump's reinstatement are a little bit far-fetched, but that doesn't prevent reports that are everywhere. In Forbes magazine and CNN and in the New York Times, Maggie Haberman, who was the Times White House correspondent for most of the Trump years, had this to say when she appeared on CNN. Listen, clip 9.
Look, I think that the idea of it being a plot, I think, is overstating the level of strategy here. And again, doability. Remember that this is not something for which there is a provision in the Constitution. It is really important to note this is not how this works. That having been said, in terms of the ability to ignite supporters of the former president, particularly the QAnon network, particularly people in a certain segment of the internet, it is real. And so, is Trump regurgitating what he's hearing? I think that is what this is. He has been told by a number of advisors that he has to stop focusing on this. It is part of why he is so laser focused on these quote unquote audits in Arizona, and he's been trying to get them in other states because he thinks they're going to overturn the elections. One of the things that he has said to a couple of people is, and a part of this he has said publicly, is, you know, if you catch somebody stealing a Tiffany diamond, you got to give the diamond back. And then in another iteration, it's, he can't understand why Mitch McConnell doesn't support this because McConnell will become majority leader again once these races are all overturned. That just tells you about where this is going. I just want to again make clear none of that is happening and none of that is possible, but this is the kind of thing that he is trying to flush into the conservative media ecosystem.
Speaking of the conservative media ecosystem, it's gotten so serious about the speculation about this idea of President Trump being reinstated. There was a piece in Forbes magazine which is about this whole idea of the domino effect, how that's supposed to happen. And the piece in Forbes, which is by Jack Brewster, says that the people who are close to President Trump, particularly Sidney Powell, with whom he apparently speaks regularly, Michael Flynn, and Mike Lindell, who has put a lot of effort and energy into this, according to a lot of them, when the audit of the Arizona votes in Maricopa County, one county in Arizona, give President Trump enough extra votes so that he wins Arizona, well, he'd still be 25 votes short of winning the Electoral College. But the theory is that that will put so much pressure, there'll be other states like Georgia and perhaps Wisconsin that would go ahead and do recounts and allow him to win the Electoral College. Here is Lara Trump on Fox News, asked about the plans for President Trump to take office again by August. Listen, this is clip 7.
What about this story that President Trump is thinking that he's going to be placed into office in August? Is that true? Has he mentioned that to you? Because I think 24 hours a day other networks are running with that story.
Well, I think you should take a look at who those networks are and who is pushing that story out. As far as I know, there are no plans for Donald Trump to be in the White House in August. Maybe there's something, I don't know, Brian, but no, I think that is a lot of folks getting a little worked up about something just because maybe there wasn't enough pushback, from the Republican side. So, no, I have not heard any plans for Donald Trump to be installed in the White House
right.
in August.
You just blew up all their programming for the next 72 hours.
Sorry, guys.
It's okay.
Okay, the idea is that... why would the media make such a big deal out of this? And the answer has to be for ratings, because there are so many people who remain very loyal to President Trump or enthusiastic about President Trump making another race for president. They want him to make another race for president. They want him to be out in the campaign trail because people are more likely to watch that than some of the lesser known, less controversial, less electrifying campaign presences that are out there. And one of the interesting bits of data just released indicates that President Trump made the election as close as it was this last time because he had special appeal to first-time voters, people who normally don't vote. And if he can keep those voters loyal to the Republican cause, well, there's an argument over at the Wall Street Journal that says that might not actually help President Trump. And what about a child impersonating Adolf Hitler for a fifth-grade class and getting in trouble for it? It was an assignment. He actually had his, or she, had the assignment posted on a bulletin board for the whole school to see. We'll get to that and more on the MedVet Show.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
New COVID cases in the United States have fallen to levels not seen in more than a year. The latest 7-day average is around 15,600 cases per day, the lowest level since March 2020. CDC Director Dr. Rochelle Walensky said Thursday that the average is down 94% from a peak in January of this year. Average daily deaths have also fallen to a low of about 360 a day. Walensky says the drops come as more Americans get vaccinated. 63% of adults have received at least one dose of vaccine, although daily vaccination rates have fallen off. And President Biden will meet with Queen Elizabeth II during an upcoming visit to the UK. Buckingham Palace announcing the meeting Thursday, saying it will take place while Biden is in the country for a meeting of the leaders of the Group of Seven. The trip, which includes a planned summit with Russian President Vladimir Putin in Switzerland, will be Biden's first overseas trip since taking office. This is USA Radio News.
For over 20 years, Extendivite has been helping people. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. Glad I found this product. I am 51 years old and started getting headaches a couple of times a week. I went to the doctor and my blood pressure was a little high at around 150 over 95. I found out about Extendivite and I ordered some to try it. Immediately, I felt better and it lowered my blood pressure and my headaches went away almost instant. I have been taking it now for about 4 months and I am so glad I found this product. You won't be disappointed. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2 month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP, as slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Visit GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
The main thing is that you're a hypocrite and you're the devil. You're the big Hitler.
You're listening to the Michael Medved Show.
And on the Michael Medved Show, there's a piece in the Wall Street Journal. And it's a very important piece because it actually takes a look at the phenomenon of a first-time voters who almost, but not quite, won the election for Trump in some battleground states. First-time voters. The piece by Aaron Zittner says that new data on the 2020 election show that President Trump drew substantial support in some battleground states from Americans who had skipped prior elections, never voting before, creating a new pool of voters whose decisions on whether to participate again will be central to next year's midterms. And basically, there's a lot of focus on Team Trump, by the way, on making sure that those people who had never voted before but who came out to vote, giving Trump the highest total ever for a Republican candidate in terms of total votes, trying to get those people to come out and vote again to give the Republicans a victory in the House and maybe in the Senate too, and then to propel Trump to an anticipated comeback tour in 2024. These voters had cast ballots intermittently or sat out all prior elections, writes Aaron Zittner, despite being old enough to vote. But they were drawn off the sidelines by the Republican president's race against the Democratic challenger Joe Biden. New analysis by Target Smart, which is a Democratic voter data firm, and the Republican National Committee found that more of these low propensity voters chose to register as Republicans than Democrats in several of the closest backgrounds, including Pennsylvania, North Carolina, and Florida. In fact, of those backgrounds, battlegrounds that they mention, they mention first-time voters who went for Trump in four key battleground states. He won in North Carolina. He won in Florida. And he barely lost in Arizona and lost more decisively in Pennsylvania. The results present both good news and challenges for the Republican Party, writes the Wall Street Journal. The data help explain how Mr. Trump won 11 million more votes in 2020 than in his first election and show that his campaign drew new supporters to the GOP, an effort that focused most intensely on reaching working class and rural voters in Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, and other battlegrounds. But the strategy came with a gamble. In engaging more working class and rural Americans, Mr. Trump forfeited a measure of support from professional class and suburban voters, losing people who show up regularly for elections in favor of those with inconsistent voting records. Democrats, meanwhile, have drawn increased support from groups that, according to census data, make voting a regular habit, among them those with higher incomes and bachelor's or postgraduate degrees. Tom Bonier, who's chief executive of Target Smart, said Trump's strategy did alienate higher educated white suburban voters, a group that he called the highest turnout demographic. So to the extent that the Republican Party's coalition is shifting, that's built on a necessity of turnout among newer and less likely voters, Mr. Bonier said. Now, there's another factor here which is worth taking a look at. The voters they looked at were only voters who could have voted before. In other words, they didn't deal with any voters between below the age of 20. And the idea that there were people who were 20 years old who could conceivably have voted before but didn't, but first-time voters, those voters were apparently overwhelmingly for Biden. And that, I think, most Republicans realize is going to be a key voting group in some of the close elections that are coming up here. There's also another poll that's very encouraging to Republicans that is cited by Karl Rove today in the Wall Street Journal, which shows that overwhelmingly in the 20 key congressional districts that are going to be battlegrounds, these are districts that were very close both between Trump and Biden and very close between whoever won the incumbent congressman last time and the incumbent congressman this time. And in those districts, by very substantial margins, people do not like Biden's call for increased taxes. They don't want to see increased federal taxes. They don't want to see increased capital gains taxes. They don't want to see the government raising more money and spending more money. And one of the arguments that Karl Rove makes, and I think it's smart and it's good and it's right, is that, look, Republicans right now are spending a lot of energy and a lot of focus on social issues, particularly if you consider the difficulties, the crisis at the border, as a social issue. They're focused on that. They're focused on trying to, for instance, guarantee that girls don't have to compete against boys. Like Governor DeSantis just passed a very successful bill in Florida, and when threatened by some kind of action by the NCAA, well, he basically said, jump in the lake. He's not going to listen to that. He's going to stand up protecting girls' athletics. That kind of issue can work. That kind of issue, as we talked about last hour, protecting American school children from the misleading and dishonest indoctrination involved in critical race theory and the 1619 Project, that all matters. But what Karl Rove is saying is don't forget it's the economy, stupid. And with the economy, with Joe Biden looking ahead and saying that for the next 10 years, economic growth will remain at an average of about 2%, that it will be historically low. Now, of course, this is the government's own projections. And with all of this extra funding and all of this extra money being pumped into the economy, it's kind of an acknowledgement that that kind of strategy doesn't really work. And what Karl Rove is arguing is this, is that, look, it's fine to talk all about these social issues. There is a brand new poll, which we'll get to, that shows that overwhelmingly. That's not even close. Even a majority of Democrats oppose federal funding for abortion. They don't want it. They don't like it. It's not based on the Supreme Court here. It's based upon decisions that the federal government makes. And right now, the idea that Joe Biden wants to get rid of prohibitions on federal funding for abortion, it's tough to say that I'm just pro-choice when you want the federal government to fund a certain procedure. If you want federal funding, then you are no longer just pro-choice. You are pro-abortion. And most Americans, even those who say that they oppose government, too much government interference with abortion, are in favor of some regulations, including being in favor of bans on federal funding, which is another issue that can work. But Karl Rove's point is, you know what? It's the economy, stupid. And as he puts it this way, he says, Democrats may be counting on Republicans to emphasize culture war issues rather than deliver a focused, principled attack on the president's orgy of spending and tax increases. This isn't to suggest issues like defunding the police, critical race theory, and border security are unimportant. But in 2022, as in most years, the economy, writes Rove, will likely be the real congressional battleground. The sooner Republicans recognize that, the better. And speaking of the economy versus social issues, is there a social issue or a freedom of speech issue with a fifth grader impersonating Hitler? We will get to that story and more coming up on the MedVet Show.
The greatest show on God's green earth.
This may be the greatest movement in the history of our country.
The Michael MedVet Show.
I've had several knee injuries on my left knee, and so over time, stiffness set in with a great deal of pain. So I went ahead and ordered the starter packet, and after about 2 weeks, I started noticing results, and after they were gone and I reordered, let's say 6 weeks in, my pain was virtually gone, but the big bonus was that the stiffness was also virtually gone, and so therefore my problem with my left hip also went away. I'm very happy I decided to try it and will continue to use it.
You can get a 3-week quick start for just $19.95. That's 95 cents a day. What a good investment. Nothing to lose but your pain and the whole world to gain. You can go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for Relief Factor. That's michaelmedved.com, banner for Relief Factor, or call 833 toll free 654-PAIN, 833-654-PAIN. Don't you get tired of commercials screaming at you to buy gold right now with inflated promises on future values? In an unregulated industry, you need honest, real experts to give you solid advice to protect your wealth and give you top picks, too, on the best coins and bullion based on real-time data and historical trends. For example, as environmental policy becomes a hot topic, one precious metal that's been significantly undervalued for years is potentially set to surge. Nick Rovich, owner of Amfed Coin and Bullion, has long recommended this precious metal. Up to 600,000 ounces of this rare metal will be needed by 2030 to produce green hydrogen. Nick is doubling down on this pick, and you should, too. Call Nick to find out more. Now, I've been friends with Nick for several years, and he's my go-to guy when it comes to coins and bullion. I trust him. You can, too. Call Nick at 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com. 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com.
At Social Security, we are always thinking of ways to save you time and make things easier. That's why we created My Social Security. Opening a My Social Security account gives you secure access to your personal record and interactive tools tailored for you. You can see if you are eligible to receive benefits, view spousal benefit estimates, and compare retirement benefit estimates at different ages or dates when you want to start receiving benefits. Already receiving benefits? Use your account to change your address, set up or change direct deposit, get a proof of income letter, and more. In most states, you can also request a replacement Social Security card. Save time. Go online. Open a My Social Security account at ssa.gov/myaccount. Social Security. Securing today and tomorrow.
Produced at U.S. taxpayer expense.
We are GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. We've got listeners, lots of them. Around the world, around the clock, our listeners do what listeners do. They listen. And you know what listeners got? Needs. Needs for your products, your services, and money to buy those needs. With our network of over 1,000 radio stations, streaming on the web, and our satellite transmissions, we're reaching our listeners with quality conservative programming. But there's something our listeners don't have. Your offer to meet their needs. Any business needs buyers. But if our listeners don't hear your message, they're still going to buy what they need. Just not from your business. So let's fix this. Tell us about your business. Then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message for our GCN listeners. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email. advertise@gcnlive.com.
On the Michael Medved show, there are all kinds of areas of disagreement about what we teach in school, what should be in curricula. But I do think that most people would be a little bit uncomfortable with a curriculum or a class exercise that ends up glorifying one Adolf Hitler. It might be problematic. This goes to a situation in Tenafly, New Jersey, in outside of New York City. It's a New York City suburb. This is the report that came in from NBC New York, 3A.
In New Jersey, an investigation is underway over an assignment written by a student and hung in an elementary school hallway. It sparked outrage among parents who say it appears to glorify Adolf Hitler.
It was a fifth grade assignment, but many say the teacher failed by allowing a student to praise Nazi leader Adolf Hitler.
I can't even express how disappointing it is.
The Israeli American Council on Facebook posted about the assignment at Tenafly's Mom Elementary School, where a student project on Hitler's accomplishments was put on display. Referring to Hitler, it read in part, "I was pretty great, wasn't I?" Noting his unification of Germans and Austrians, it also went on to read, "I was very popular," with only one reference that anti-Semitic beliefs, quote, drove Hitler to kill more than 6 million Jews.
Nothing guarantees popularity like that, right? I mean, my greatest accomplishment was uniting a great mass of German and Austrian people behind me. That was what the student listed in the handwritten report that was titled Accomplishments. And then there's this, 3B.
The school superintendent putting out a statement saying, "I have the difficult task of addressing a serious matter involving a school project completed recently on Adolf Hitler." Shauna DeMarco says they are investigating. Reaction has been strong, especially in light of recent anti-Semitic attacks, some calling for the teacher's dismissal. The Kaplan JCC on the Palisades CEO writing, "The teacher failed to recognize the profound impact this can have on students, family members, and others in our community who could perceive this project as condoning or even glorifying the atrocities of one of the most evil individuals in world history."
Read the history books. It's all there. The movies are there. The tons of people who are starving and killed.
Now, the superintendent declined to answer what actions have been taken so far or if the teacher has faced any reprimand.
Okay, one of the stories, one of the many stories about this incident points out that the teacher, who has not yet been named, who obviously made a ridiculous mistake, the teacher's Jewish. And that doesn't make it okay in any sense, but it does give us the opportunity for a public service announcement.
Now, it's time for a Michael Medved public service announcement.
Okay, just a word out there for all of you students and teachers and parents, everybody involved in education. Never dress up as Hitler for a school project.
Stay tuned. public service announcements.
Yeah, Shauna DeMarco, who is the Tenafly, New Jersey Public Schools superintendent, says there have been questions raised about the fifth grade class project. We understand that tensions are running high and that our community is extremely upset. There are a lot of Holocaust survivors and their children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren in Tenafly, New Jersey. There's more in terms of recent crime sprees in New York. And obviously, crime is going up. But there's this story, a headline from Fox News, about a homeless man who was accused of attacking an Asian American woman, had been arrested 8 prior times in the past year. Is that extraordinary? And wait, he had been arrested at least 17 times prior to that. This is astonishing, it seems to me. And the fact that he would still be out on the street, listen to this. A homeless man accused of attacking an Asian American woman during a broad daylight hate crime assault in New York City had been arrested at least 17 times prior to that. As the Big Apple's top cop slams the lenient treatment of repeat criminals for putting New Yorkers at risk. Well, thank you. Alexander Wright, 48, was charged with assault as a hate crime, misdemeanor assault, and criminal possession of a controlled substance, a synthetic form of marijuana, called K2, in connection with a Monday evening attack. A video of the startling attack shows the 55-year-old victim walking in New York City's Chinatown in the area of Bayard and Mott Street around 6:15 p.m., still broad daylight. As she walks through what appears to be an outdoor eatery, the hooded black man, that's what it says in the report from Fox News, hits her in the face and she falls to the ground. Look, this is astonishing because the commissioner of police, Dermot Shea, mentioned a previous incident in which a 65-year-old Asian woman was pushed down the stairs of a New York City subway station on Friday. What's the common denominator, he asked during the interview? People that are arrested multiple times and get released. He called it craziness that someone who is arrested for committing a crime such as pushing a woman down the stairs could be released back onto the street. Shea said that Wright had been arrested 8 times in the past year alone and has been accused of randomly assaulting people and setting fires. So what happened to 3 strikes, you're out? Remember that? We need help with some of these laws, said Dermot Shea. We cannot be just chasing our tail, catch and release, he continued. What are we doing in society when we're releasing these people right back into the street within a half hour? It's putting New Yorkers at risk. And by the way, this guy with the 17 prior arrests, he lives in a homeless shelter provided by the city. Yeah, isn't that just Jim Dandy and wonderful? There's also this from Seattle. Homeless suspect described as aggressive, accused of killing victim's dog during attempted robbery. Now, how did that happen? It happened this way. This, according to Cairo 7 News, a 29-year-old homeless man who Seattle police describe as aggressive, assaultive, and destructive, was released by a King County judge without bail after he was arrested for allegedly kicking and killing a man's 14-year-old pet dog, a Jack Russell Terrier named Alice. The dog's owner, a 67-year-old man who lives at the nearby Fry Apartments, was walking his dog through a trail in City Hall Park next to the King County Courthouse on April 30th. The park is also the site of one of the most established homeless encampments in Seattle. Investigators said a 29-year-old man who lived in a tent in the park confronted the dog's owner, demanding he hand over the jacket he was wearing and threatened to beat him. Seattle police said the dog's owner, who was wearing an orthopedic boot after having surgery on his leg, tried to pepper spray the suspect out of fear and attempted to hobble away. Police said the suspect sprinted after him on the sidewalk outside of the park. Without breaking stride, he kicked Alice, that's the dog, launching Alice into the air. Investigators wrote in court documents, the owner witnessed the dog's head impact the concrete, and he knew that his longtime companion had been killed. The suspect was arrested for animal cruelty and robbery. King County prosecutors asked Judge Marcus Naylor to keep the suspect in jail. What a good idea. Recommending $25,000 in bail. Instead, the judge decided to release the suspect on his own recognizance. Now, does he go back to City Hall Park and his tent there? Why do you release a suspect like this? Well, basically, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez thinks we ought to release basically all suspects. Really, it's astonishing. Listen to what she had to say. Clip two.
When you actually open the door to a jail and look at who's inside, an enormous amount of people are dealing with untreated mental health issues. And it is not acceptable for us to use jails as garbage bins for human beings. We need to treat people. It is not a place for us to throw people for whom we don't want to invest in the actual holistic issues of their lives. If we want to reduce violent crime, if we want to reduce the number of people in our jails, the answer is to stop building more of them. The answer is to make sure that we actually build more hospitals.
Okay, and that's going to protect people like the 67-year-old whose dog was killed by being kicked in the air by a guy who was trying to rob him. I mean, honestly, does that make sense? AOC, we need fewer jails. Actually, we need more appropriate jails and more prisoners in this.
If Ernest Hemingway was alive today, would he say this to you?
Shakespeare, Mark Twain, Edgar Allan Poe, all great writers. And after reading your book, I simply must add you to the list.
Wait, you don't have a book yet. So make a free call to Page Publishing. Their expert staff can help you turn your book idea into a real book, a masterpiece that could someday make the bestseller list in hard copy and digitally all across the world. Page Publishing can help you completely take your idea for a book, write it, and publish it. So if you want to join the ranks of some of the most famous authors in the world, call now for a free information kit. Turn your book idea into publishing gold. Make a free call right now to Page Publishing.
800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. That's 800-378-3212.
Join me, George Norrie, for the Worldwide Contact in the Desert Virtual UFO Conference, June 25th to June 28th. Contact in the Desert is an epic weekend of adventure jam-packed with exciting explorations into UFOs, ancient civilizations, AI, crop circles, forbidden archaeology, disclosure, and the newest evidence of ongoing contact, sightings, and leading-edge science. This amazing weekend delivers more than 130 presentations and special events showcasing 67 speakers from all over the world, with 2 extra weeks to view your favorite leading experts, including Avi Loeb with Clyde Lewis, Linda Moulton Howe, Paul Hellyer, John Lear, Russell Targ, David Childress, Doc Wallach, and more. With breaking articles in the New York Times and acknowledged naval sightings, and more importantly, the new release of classified documents on the day of the soft opening of Contact in the Desert, we are your source for inside information. Join us June 25th at contactinthedesert.com to get your tickets today. Make contact, contactinthedesert.com.